most of you know that I was a labor and delivery nurse for 24 years. So I delivered, helped deliver. Sometimes I did. The doctor didn't get there. I got to deliver those babies. But I can't remember how many that happened to. But before they had a lot of residents around and midwives, sometimes the doctors couldn't get there in time. Anyway, so I took care of thousands of newborns. Little, tiny, sweet babies. Oh, it was just so wonderful. Well, God has two brand new babies He wants us to take care of. And these two babies are the brand new Christmas baby and the baby New Year. The baby New Year. So they both have great potential for us in our lives. And so we're going to look at first the potential of the brand new Christmas baby. In verse 6 it says, "The time came for the baby to be born." And you know, the time keeps coming for babies to be born. They always have a time, and we do. We got these little wheels they used to have. Now they have them on computers, but they call them the OB wheels. OB wheels. So you could say, when's your last period? Oh, so here's your birthday. It's in this range. But we always say this range. This is your due date, but you never hardly hit it. Rosemary did hit it a couple times, I think, on our due date. But I just tell you, they come early or they come later, and it's like hardly ever. And the doctor, their doctor's not never hardly there. It's always some other doctor, usually. And that's not like the old days when you just called the doctor out to come to the house and deliver the baby. But anyway, so thousands of babies I took care of, and so you heard the story, some of you heard the story, that Susie Vion's sister, she wanted me to be her nurse, and I never got to because I was working postpartum that night. But I saw Susie at the end of my shift as I was walking out, walking to the nursery with a baby. And I knew that then her sister had delivered, and her sister was in the recovery room. And so she was going with the baby to the nursery so she'd see where it was at and they could come get the baby, whatever. And so I said, "Hey, Susie, give this poem. It's called Maternal Bond. Give this poem to your sister." I went home, went to sleep, and dreamed I was working again. But this time I was working with Susie Vion's sister. I'd never met her, actually. But I had her as my patient in this one bed. Out of 36 beds, there was this one bed she was in. So I was taking care of her, and I was telling her about, she was her first baby, how this changes your life. You become a mother now. You're not just a lady or a single girl. You are called mother now. It's changed you. So I woke up from that dream, and I thought, I've got to write this down. I wrote a poem called Mama, and I printed it out and gave it to her. But what was a little semi-miraculous, I think it's miraculous, in my dream, she was in that bed, and I got assigned to that section, and she was in that bed in my dream. That is so, so strange. I think, I'm not sure, but I think that is the one that is Susie Vion's nephew. I'm not sure. Is that it? Is that him? Okay. Well, here it is, Mama. Mama is a term we hear, a title used each day. It often is the name we first conform our lips to say, a common household epithet, a word that stands for her who runs the show at home and makes important things occur. But mother, mom, and mama cannot ever be the same when it becomes a woman's turn to bear that lovely name. For nothing in our history of dwelling on the earth compares with what can happen in the time surrounding birth. For never did another person live in someone's space, so cozy, soft, and hugging warm. The womb's a magic place where heels and knees and elbows kick, reminding, I am here, and dance into a woman's dreams and plans till they appear. There's something God creates inside that nothing can reverse, a call to bring into the world a special life to nurse. And she who bears the challenge has an everlasting claim to be a child's mama, and she'll never be the same. Babies change us. They do. When a baby comes into the world, it changes our lives. And when a woman has a baby, her life and her identity, she's now a mama. She's a mother. and it happened to Mary. We sang that, Ari sang that solo, Mary, did you know this child that you delivered will soon deliver you? And babies change everything, it seems like. When we have Jesus born into us, we also change. But when a newborn comes into our lives, it changes what we do, what we buy, where we go, how we spend our free time, if there's any free time left. You know how it can be very, very hectic taking care of your first baby, but it's really hard taking care of the second one when you have little ones, or the third one. But the fourth one, hey, piece of cake. Just same thing. Same thing, it's just more of, you know. But anyway, they change everything. They change everything. When Jesus came to us as a brand new baby, when he came to us as a brand new baby on this earth, he gave us a way to change. He could make us a brand new baby. By his birth and his coming, this brand new baby of Bethlehem, he allowed us to become newborns. Newborns in his kingdom. So the babe of Bethlehem comes to us, he changes our lives, and he changes our thinking, and he changes our living, and he does that with what is really represented by his two birth names. He has two birth names. One is Emmanuel, one is Jesus. Our thinking is changed by the reality of his prophetic name, Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us. And so what can describe our attitude upon realizing, hey, God is with me now? What changes? Well, we get to have gratitude. It's like we start having gratitude more, generosity, hope, courage, honesty, humility, and almost every other virtue you can think of. It starts happening in our lives. It comes into our lives as we grow in the Lord. It keeps coming, and then our lifestyle changes. It's not just our attitude, but our lifestyle changes, and it's altered by what his proper name means, Jesus. Jesus means Jehovah saves, Jehovah heals, and Jehovah delivers. That's what Jesus does. All these unpleasant vices in our lives that we have, selfishness, bitterness, dishonesty, ingratitude, they begin to vanish. They begin to vanish after Jesus starts to save. He starts saving our lives. He starts healing our lives. He starts delivering us from those bad attitudes and those bad activities, those bad behavior. So we sang, I think we did this year, O Little Town of Bethlehem. There's one verse of that. O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. Be born in us today. Because the new birth is really Jesus moving in. He's moving in to our lives. And it starts real small. Like we become a newborn along with him. He comes into us and then we become a newborn. And we grow together, hopefully, his life being manifested in our lives. So, when Jesus is born in us, you know, not all these virtues appear and not all these vices disappear immediately. It doesn't happen all at once. Just like a baby comes out and doesn't, yeah, you're a man now, you know, or you're a young woman now. No, it takes time, doesn't it? Babies must grow. And despite what our culture says about a sexualized, objectified, sex-idle breast, I know from having helped thousands and thousands of women get their babies latched on that the breast was given for what? Breastfeeding. That's exactly what they're created for. All their anatomical structure and everything is about feeding. It's not about what our society has made it. And it's not that way in all the rest of parts of the world. We're making it that way by spreading our culture, but it's not that way. God gave women breasts not for enticing men, but for feeding babies, feeding newborns. We gotta own that. We've really wrecked the world that way by spreading this weird idea. But you unlearn it when you get into the hospital. You really have to. But potential spiritual growth. God uses breastfeeding as a way to talk about how we're supposed to grow. And it's a potential growth in us from the Holy Child of Bethlehem living inside of us. It comes in a similar way. 1 Peter 2:2, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Do you know what Peter was saying? He was saying, put a bottle in the baby's mouth. No, they didn't have bottles in those days. What did you do? If a woman couldn't nurse, she got a wet nurse so that that baby could nurse. So the picture is a mama being cuddled next to a chest and being snuggled in there and feeding from the mama. And it's like, what a beautiful picture. I've seen it thousands and thousands of times. I never got tired of seeing it. It's one of the most beautiful things, besides birth, is one of the most beautiful things in the world. By feeding on God's Word. By feeding on God's Word. Faith grows. The mind is renewed. Our lives are transformed. We must take care of the newborn baby inside of us. The newborn has to eat. But God has another brand new baby too. And that's for us to take care of as well. So let's look at the potential of the baby new year. You know, you see those pictures where there's this old dude and he's carrying a torch or a lamp or something, and a candle, and it's really burnt down low. But when he gives it to the baby, this new year baby, it's bright again. It's ready to shine through a whole year. And you see that, the old year passing and the new year taking that candle. And it's like, that's what it's like. It's a brand new baby year that's going to happen in a little bit of time. And, you know, many people make those new year resolutions. And I quoted from that man, William S. Deal. I'm going to quote his entire thing that he says on that. He was that district superintendent. He said, "The old year is a closed book. Its deeds are done. Its history written. Its records closed. Only its influence lasts on. But before us is another book of days, whose lily-white pages may be fill with golden records or smudge with deeds of shame. Few persons, unaided by the Spirit of God, can settle upon resolves which they will carry through to a higher and nobler ways of life. But God stands ever ready to help those who propose to do His will to carry through to triumph in Christ those holy resolutions born of the Spirit's convictions." Where is that help? Where is that divine help? It's in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us the help we need to keep those holy resolutions that we need to do during this new year. And in a way, we can find that divine help, and it's sort of similar to what the shepherds found. They were not just all of a sudden, hey, let's go over to Bethlehem. I have an urge to go over there. No, they really got some angels coming down and telling them what to do. And in verse 15, they said, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. This year, let's go. This year, let's. All of us. Let's go and get involved in this thing that has happened. What is this thing that has happened? It's this incarnation. God is now with us, becoming flesh to dwell among us and to live within us. It was so significant, Christ's coming was so significant, that God ordained for Christ's birth to actually divide time between B.C. and A.D. People don't realize that. Even that they've changed, they want to get away from the religious thing, so they called it C.E., a common era. But let me tell you, you can call it anything you want to. It still starts over, and we still are 2,000 years away from it. It's like, okay, so you've made your point, but you know what? It doesn't work. You cannot change it now. God has really divided time. He's divided the Old Testament from the New Testament. He's divided our old life from our new life. Jesus' coming has changed things. And we need to go to Bethlehem and go back to think about what happened in Bethlehem and meditate on God being with us. And then, verse 17, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. This year, let's ask God to help us spread the word about what it said in the previous verse, which this event which the Lord has told us about. I mean, you've been told about this event. All of us have been told about this event, not just once like the shepherds got, but many, many times over the years that we've lived on this planet, from the time we were little kids. We have got this hearing about this wonderful news about Christ coming. And let's go spread the word. That's what they said. In verse 18, all who heard it were amazed. When they started spreading the word, all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said. Now, only the Holy Spirit can do that. He's the only one that can convince people who Jesus is. Not just this year, but every year. He's the one that does that. He's the one that makes them amazed when they get, whoa, the incarnation, God becoming one of us, to dwell with us, that is good news. And then they're amazed at that news. Only the Holy Spirit could. But what we can do is to offer them something to think about. Something to think about, which the Holy Spirit may use to get them to be amazed and maybe get them to be born again as well. And so here's some of the things we can get them. How could God communicate with us more clearly than by becoming a human being and living among us? How could he communicate better than becoming one of us and talking to us? You know, we just say, think about that. How could it be any better than that? You know, some people always say, oh, that's too good to be true. I said, if you knew God, the God of love, you'd say, it's too good. It's too good not to be true. It's too good not to be true, because God is that way. He's a God of love. He does it perfectly. What greater love could God show than to pardon our sins and heal our hurts by laying down his own life? How much more can we ask of God? Think about it. And you know, people don't stop and think about that. But we need to help them and say, think about this for a minute. God took all this on himself and paid the price for it with his own life. How much more love do you want? You know, think about it. What brighter hope can God offer than Christ's empty tomb as proof of his plan to restore all that death has taken away from us? Come on. Think about that. His empty tomb is the hope. It's the hope of this world that is a dying world. And we must urge people to think about these questions and ask, isn't this exactly the divine hope and the divine love and the divine communication that's matching the highest expectation or the highest conception of a creator? Really? Really? There are no higher ways of thinking of God than these ways. A God who loves, gives us hope, and communicates with us. And wouldn't the greatest wisdom be to put faith in that kind of a God? Wouldn't that be the greatest wisdom in the world to say, I'm not going to walk away from that. That's the best news in the world. I'm going to accept that. Wouldn't it be the greatest foolishness to ignore it and just walk away from it? Some people do. But we can't change them. We can only offer them something to think about. And they need to think about these questions. Two brand new babies God wants us to take care of. How does the newborn Christ of Christmas grow to maturity in our own lives? You know, it says that we're supposed to grow up to the full measure of the stature of Christ. That's what we're about in this church. helping one another. That's why I emphasize the sharing time. It's supposed to be not from coming from just the pulpit. It's coming from each other to encourage one another so that we will all grow up to the full measure of the stature of Christ. That's what it's all about. That's what church is all about. And it's by feeding our souls on God's Word and learning to walk in His ways. And how can we bring this baby new year to its full potential in God's kingdom and for God's kingdom? Well, we should fill our thoughts of this new year with all that took place. Filling our minds, filling our thoughts with all that took place at Bethlehem's manger. God becoming flesh, dwelling among us. And on Calvary's cross, Christ dying for us, paying the price of our sins, and the empty tomb, giving us hope beyond this life to a wonderful new heaven and new earth. I tell you, that's what we should use our new year for, thinking about those things and then using the new year to share those thoughts. Because thinking about those things and those questions, thinking about how God communicates, how He loves, how He gives us hope, thinking about those, but also sharing them. And if we do think about them, we'll be more likely to share them. If that was our meditation during the day, you know what I've been thinking about today? I've been thinking about our resurrection hope. I mean, this shoulder that's not working anymore. Lord, I want a new one. And He's going to give us a new one, a whole new body. The Holy Spirit may use us. He may use us just as He did the shepherds to get people first amazed and then maybe to become newborn Christians themselves. That is our hope. I want to close with another poem. And this poem is called, actually, I preached this message about 20 years ago. None of you were here, I don't think. Okay. But I didn't preach it exactly like this because I can never do that. I have to go back in and change some things. And I added this poem because I wrote it after that time. And it's called Tiny Brand New Babies. And I'll close with that. Tiny baby Jesus, nursed at Mary's breast. Tiny helpless infant, born as all the rest. Born to be a brother to the human race. Tiny awesome author of God's saving grace. Tiny newborn Christian, born through Jesus' name. One when hearing good news that the Savior came. Born to join a growing family of love, destined for a future with the Lord above. Tiny hopeful infant called New Year by some, by most. Greets his worn out brother passing like a ghost. Hopes to use his candle better as it burns than his predecessors in their short sojourns. Tiny brand new babies, give your heart and soul to the message in them for your journey's goal. Pour the Savior's purpose into your new year. Tell the gospel story unborn babes should hear. Let's pray. Father God, there are many people that are not yet born into your kingdom. And Lord, as you came into this earth as a helpless little child, we are also helpless. We are also helpless when we are born again. We need the nurture of your word. We need to come to Jesus and be held in his arms. We need to come to the Father and be nurtured in the arms of the Father. I pray, Father God, that you will help us this year to find that nurture. And then also to take this new year and make it one of our resolutions to be more intentional in sharing this wonderful news. And Lord, being a sensitive and being aware when you are leading us to share, because we can just feel like a compulsion to go share and it not work out. We'd ask, Father, that you'd send your Holy Spirit to each one of us to open up those doors and opportunities for us to share your word, your good news with others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.